This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning. Yes, and it is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly. How are you this morning, Charlie?
Oh, my goodness. It's a gorgeous day at my house. I am very well. Thank you. How are you?
I am well. It is also a beautiful day here as well. I think you said it's about 4 degrees where you are. It's about 3 degrees where I am. So it's probably about that degrees throughout the province,
I would imagine. And it's just going to get better and sunnier. I mean, I think it's particularly nice because we've all been under a bit of a cloud the last 3 days, which was dropping all kinds of liquid on us, whether snow or water or both. I never complain about rain, so don't get me wrong. I'm always happy for rain, but it is nice to see the blue sky again.
Indeed, and even the snow that we got, because we got a bunch of it up here the other day, we just did a lot south of us even. But, of course, that will all turn into water and it'll go into the table. So it's still as beneficial, but it's you know.
It's great. It's just those clouds can be a bit of, you know, a bit of a something to live in. But my sump pump is running, I think, about every 40 seconds right now. So, yeah, we've got some good moisture up against the house, et cetera.
Nice. And, and I do have a quick note, of course, a belated happy birthday to you.
Oh,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Charlie Dobbin. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just another year wiser and older, really.
Well, I hope you had a great day. I think I heard you say that you took the day off, I think.
I did. I was pretty clear. What was funny is about, 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock, I got a text from my son, happy birthday, Mom. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And then Elliot looks at me and goes, oh, yeah, it's your birthday. And I'm like, you are going to pay for that.
Yeah.
So we did go out for a nice dinner on Thursday night.
Good. Excellent. Well, I have a little something for you, but you'll have to wait until the next time I see you. So,
yeah, but we will see each other because I'm growing some flowers for you.
Right. Okay. So we will do the exchange of the, the two Aries have to do the, well, I already got the lovely gift from you, the hummingbird feeder. And
but
so,
this is an addition to that because this is going to be the flowers that attract the hummingbirds to the feeder.
I'm very excited. Well, I have something also for you, but I'm not letting it out of the bag just yet. Mine's under construction. That's all I'll say. Okay.
Oh, that could be scary.
Okay, I'm going to give out those numbers. 416-360-0740 is the Toronto number. And if you live anywhere outside Toronto, within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Do let Ashy know if you are a first-time caller. Because I will give you the garden wings. We love to do that. We want you to call often. We want you to call early. And please, this is the important one. One question per call, please. Because we want to make room for everyone. Okay. Any other announcements, Charlie, before we go to break? Or
Maybe when we get back, I should just quickly let people know there are some upcoming meetings, all of which sound great.
Okay. So we will tackle those as soon as we get back. Much more right here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
He is absolutely correct. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, and this is Zoomer Radio. And we are delighted to be here on this first weekend of April.
Exactly. And there's so much going on. So I'll just quickly let people know this week, I believe, it would be this week, but Wednesday, April 10th, 7 p.m. I know you can't be in two places at once, but if you can, there's the Burlington Horticultural Society, also known as the Gardeners of Burlington, meeting at the Burlington Senior Center, 7 p.m. That's 2285 New Street in Burlington. It's an interesting topic, rain gardens and rainscaping with Michael Albanese. And honestly, very, very topical, great subject to learn more about. It's all about keeping rain on your property. Don't let that rain go out into the local, rivers and streams and lakes. The Riverdale Hort Society in Toronto, of course, is also meeting same time, same day, both in person and by Zoom. So if you're going in person, it's 816 Logan Avenue, so just south of the Danforth. Zooming, you'll connect with them through riverdalehorticultural.ca. So one word, Riverdale Horticultural. The topic is 35 years in a Riverdale garden with one of the members, Jane Hill. The other thing Riverdale Hort Society is doing is they're doing their annual fundraiser, which is worm castings. Ooh. Bags of worm castings for sale. I know, I just forwarded it to you, Dean. I know.
Is it so crazy that you get excited about stuff like that?
I know.
I didn't worm see that
poo.
Coming.
I know. Yeah. How great is that? This was sent years ago by Heather Sinopoli. Thank you. Frank actually bought a bag. He went and picked up a bag. So it's a pre-order. You pick up in person. Pickup days are April 28th and May 11th, and it's a cash only, but it's only $15 a bag for about 25 pounds of worm poo.
Wow.
Like, amazing. Great, great fundraiser. And certainly I'm going to organize some for my brother who lives in East York. His garden needs some work.
Okay. Wow, that's great. Who knew that we could get excited about worm casting?
Yeah, don't tell your kids.
No. I think I'm out of my mind. Okay, let's go to our first caller. We have Ellen on the line, and she is calling from the city of Brantford. Welcome to the Garden Show, Ellen.
Thank you. And did I hear that Charlie's birthday was April 4th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Mine was that day, too. So,
birthday buddy.
You too.
Yours was a lot more exciting. Sounds like it. That's great. Thank you. anyway, I just wondered, I have a second season that I tried over wintering the dahlia bulbs. And the year before, they just withered up. But last season, they have actually sprouted. And I realized I should put them in pots of soil, but I wondered, do I cut those tendrils off or do anything else?
Well, you're going to make sure that when you plant them in pots, of course, sprout side up, roots down. I wouldn't cut anything off unless it's all shriveled up. So it's all like just wrinkled and you know, dead material, or it's soft and mushy. You would cut that off. But anything that's firm goes into your pot. And of course, potting mix into a pot with the drainage holes. And yes, I would pot them up because that way you will have flowers by June, maybe, or maybe July. If you wait and keep them not potted up and try and keep them dormant until you go out in May or June, then it's going to be more like August before you see flowers.
I see. And so I will pot them up and then I just keep them in the same dark, cool place? Or do I bring them in
the sun? No, once you pot them, now you're waking them up. So you have to give them the conditions for growth. So they will need sunshine, preferably right in a window. Southern is fine, but a bright spot in your house, and water as necessary. Obviously, feel the soil. You want drainage, of course, from those pots. So you don't want to rot the bulbs. They're going to, as they grow more and more, they're going to take more and more water. But to start with, it's just really pot them up, water once, lots of sun, and then keep an eye and water as required.
That is great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Well, look at that. Birthday buddies.
I know, that's unusual.
Yeah. It took me a long time to meet somebody that had the same birthday. I remember going through life. How about you?
Same, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like even, how many times do you meet somebody who's got the same name as you? Like, Dean's a fairly unusual name.
It's not an overly used name. And the nice thing about it is that it never gets misspelled.
You know? True.
Like,
true.
There's really only one way to spell it, you know, and so... And, it can't be, it's not shortened. It's sort of like you just kind of get the name. So, but yeah, it's not overly used. And you're right. It's very, very rare that I meet somebody with the same first name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to give out the numbers again, and then we'll go to our next break. 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number. Or if you live anywhere outside Toronto in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show on this. It's hard to believe this 6th of April. That's crazy. It's just like time is just zipping by.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but
go ahead.
I just want to mention that I am in the most magical spot as of this Monday when the total eclipse is going to be going right over my house.
Absolutely. And I'm treating in the path.
Yeah, I'm treating it like the Super Bowl. So I've got poundage of chicken wings and nachos and a cooler and beer and lawn chairs. And I'm just going to like go sit outside. I've invited a few friends over and we're just going to hang out. We've got our little glasses and I'm not going to move. It's going to be a beautiful day. The weather is with us.
Yeah, I would love. It pains me that I can't be there with you because I know that you are in one of the perfect spots. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was filling in for on the classical station, on the sister station the other day, and we did a themed Friday. I put in songs that have to do with the sun and the moon because, of course, it's all about them crossing paths. Mm-hmm. And I was remembering back and I was sure that I remembered when I was in grade school. I remember where I was in the late 70s when the total eclipse happened. And then somebody called and said, oh, no, I've got some glasses from a few years ago. It was from like 2008. But of course, that total solar eclipse was very, very north of us. You had to be in very, very northern Ontario to really enjoy that. But indeed, the one before that was 1979 in February. And I was just shy of turning 12 when that happened. And it happened during the day. So that, I remember they closed all the curtains in school. They kept us all in and we watched it on television. But could see outside peeking through the curtains that it became darker. Yeah. And I remember that very clearly. Yeah, it was very exciting.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm also pretty excited about the chicken wings too, got to tell you. So
yeah, well, you know, you can always maybe you could always broadcast from here if you want.
I could. Okay, sounds like a good idea. Let's go to our next caller. We have Don on the line, and he is calling from Union, Ontario. Welcome to the Garden Show, Don.
Good morning, Dean.
Morning,
and, Charlie. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Excellent.
Now, I've got some ever-bearing raspberries in in my back garden, and I never touched them last year for other reasons, and it's all overgrown, and I don't have that many. It's probably 8 feet long, the bed, and I'm wondering how much should I cut them back, and if I should cut them back, and I may sacrifice one crop this year, but all should be good.
You know what? I understand that it's hard to stay on top of raspberries. They're very vigorous growing plants, and we start with the best intentions, and before you know it, you can't get in to get the raspberries without, you know, your suit of leather on to get through the tangled canes that are obviously quite prickly as well. With ever-bearing raspberries, the trick is after the fruit has been produced on the canes, we remove those canes basically right down at ground level. But that's the canes that bore fruit. So what I would do if I were you before any leaves or anything come out is get out there, do some thinning, particularly removing the spent canes, the canes that clearly bore fruit, and think about making sure that each of your plants is roughly 60 centimeters apart. So, you know, that'd be like 2 feet apart and or a little bit more, 2.5 feet apart. And of course, we want well-drained, good quality soil and lots of sun. Don't do all kinds of fertilizing. If you want a top dress with some good quality composted manure and mulch, that's great. But fertilizer tends to just make them grow even faster and bigger than you want them. And of course, that will be not necessarily fruit, but a lot of leaves and canes.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. I'll do all of those things. And happy birthday and happy eclipse day.
Thank you. Oh, and just before you go, Dawn, if you have a pencil or you want to listen to this again on the podcast, OMAFRA, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, has a fact sheet on growing raspberries for homeowners. So the number of the fact sheet, you just go to OMAFRA fact sheet number 237/12.
And okie dokie.
Everything you want to know.
Fabulous. I love raspberries. Okay.
Don't
here we go.
I too, yeah.
Is there a favorite type that you like, Charlie?
Oh, I just love all raspberries.
All raspberries. Yeah.
But I'm afraid to plant them here because I know what'll happen. They'll be, whoa.
Oh, right. Of course. Indeed. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. We're going to Toronto this time. We have Evelyn on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Evelyn.
Thank you so much. And happy belated birthday, Charlie.
Thanks.
I have a question. We have a north-facing back garden, very dry soil, and we have it's a lawn garden, so we have some cedars there, but I left spaces for vines, so I had, because there's a back fence behind it, I want to cover that, and we had tried clematis last year without success, and I might be guilty of not having watered enough, it's possible. So our gardener had recommended porcelain berry vine, and I was wondering if that was a good choice, because I noticed when I was looking it up that sometimes like it'll spread to other areas, and I don't really want to deal with that. So I'm wondering if there's something you recommend or if you think that that's a good choice.
So that's always the challenge, right, is your conditions sound a bit challenging. So you're limited to what will grow in fairly shady location. And then once it is a happy growing plant, of course, what happens is it grows. So, you know, it does require some control, and that's perfectly normal. Porcelain berry vine is very much known as a plant that is very vigorous and can do some you know, serious growth. It's another one that people might, you know, sort of regret planting would be trumpet vine. It starts out as a nice plant with beautiful orange flowers, and then before you know it, it's coming up at the neighbors. So it, you know, there's always sort of those challenging conditions. One plant I have loved, and I have found it to be very, very controllable, is something called, I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, it is. So it's Dutchman's Pipe is the common name. So Dutchman's Pipe or Aristolochia.
Do you mind spelling the second word? I'm sorry.
Dutchman's Pipe, like you're smoking a pipe. Heart-shaped leaves. It does have brown flowers that are not really showy, but it is a very controllable, very nice plant in a fairly shady location. I also like silver lace vine, but silver lace, again, can be quite vigorous. And I planted it once between myself and my neighbor killed it because he was having bad dreams about it growing up into his bedroom and strangling him in his sleep. You're laughing, but it's true. He had a very vivid imagination. So, he didn't kill it on purpose, but yes, he did kill it.
I just looked up that Dutchman's pipe. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
So Dutchman's pipe, and it's a vine. It'll grow.
It's a vine. Yep. Oh, it's very, and it's very controllable. Very pretty. Yep.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for the call there.
I don't know what happened.
Quite a stunning flower on the Dutchman's pipe there, Charlie.
Yeah, it is. But it's not really noticeable because it's brown, right? And if it's growing in the shade, again, it's not like it doesn't pop like you might expect it to. And I just flashed, Evelyn also might consider silver lace vine. I mentioned that one, but climbing hydrangea.
Okay.
We love our hydrangeas, and climbing hydrangea does grow in fairly low light.
Okie dokie. Okay, our next caller is Cheryl, and she's calling from Thornhill. Welcome to the Garden Show, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. And another belated happy birthday, Charlie.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo!
And you two were talking about not rarely meeting somebody that has the same birthday. I was the executive assistant at York University in science, and I went through 10 deans, and my third last one, her birthday is exactly the same as mine, and we both love orange cats, and we both love George Harrison. So there you go.
Wow. Really good friends now. There you go. That's That'd be fun to work for somebody who you had that much in common with.
It was a lot of fun. Still does. Okay.
That's good.
My problem is I need some advice from you. We've got a small strip out the front of the house between our two houses. It's a very small footprint. But I had somebody come in and try to beautify it a bit, and she did a lovely garden for me. And the other day, I saw a man out there with a truck. When I went out to talk to him, he was from one of the providers for cable and that sort of stuff, not mine. It happened to be two doors down. And he dug up the garden. I asked him if it was the city, and that's when he told me who it was. It's got to be, I think that part of it is only about 5 or 6 feet wide. And he dug a square hole about 4 feet. He removed a whole bunch of my plants. I mean, he tried to do it nicely. And he put them up against the tree. But when I phoned the provider, because he said they'd be back to fill in the soil and blah, 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 and put the plants back. Right now, they've filled it up with gravel. And my plants are sitting there exposed. They're in more or less soil balls, but the roots are all exposed. What do I do? And they say it's going to probably take another 2 weeks before they come back.
Ugh. Where the plants are sitting right now, are they in a situation where the sun is hitting them?
Yes.
Right. So that's going to dry them out even more than you would want them to.
The other night the last two nights I've covered them up with something I got out of the garage because it turned so cold, for one thing.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, I won't.
Okay.
It hasn't been that cold. Yeah, don't worry about covering them. But the one thing I would consider covering, if you've got landscape fabric or burlap or some old sheets or, you know what I'm saying, blankets, something that's going to get muddy, would be to cover the root balls. And you don't have to cover them individually. If they're all kind of sitting, like have the plants sitting in such a way that their root balls are touching, if they can, so that they're much closer together than they would ever be planted. But because they're sitting above ground, you want them to share each other's humidity, etc. So I would sort of have them all clustered. And then I would drape or wrap around the roots. You might even want to kick some more soil up over the roots if you're seeing roots before you do a bit of a cover with some kind of, like I say, fabric, burlap, old sheets, whatever, and let them sit like that. 2 weeks we're still early enough in the season that the plants are still pretty dormant, so they're not going to suffer too much. But if it goes beyond 2 weeks, then you're going to have to come up with another plan, whether it's potting those plants up individually or getting some of that gravel out and getting some soil in and getting those plants in the ground, because they can't sit there forever. But they'll be fine because the weather is cool, the season is early, as long as they don't suffer too much from the roots being exposed to the outside air.
So should I water the fabric at all?
If it gets hot and sunny, then yes.
You'll be able to tell.
They're
types of plants that want the sun for at least 6 hours, and so that's why they're in the place where they are. So,
right. And so that's why leaving them in a sunny spot won't be the end of the world, because they're going to like that sun, but that's going to make them grow. And so you've got to give them that bottom care. So that means covering those roots, getting some soil, getting the roots covered, and then using some fabric just to hold the soil and to hold moisture. And if you've got, you're going to get your hose going in the next week or so probably. And you may need to water. You don't want to, when they're all bundled together like that, they won't dry out nearly as quickly as you might expect. So just keep an eye on them.
So there is a way of saving them.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
there is. Because I spent a lot of money on trying to get this done. And,
Oh, it's not. Right. Well, no, it's very frustrating that they would fill it with, that they didn't do the job properly. I guess, are they coming back? Is that why they put gravel in?
It's about 2 weeks before they'll be back. They've left a big coil out there of what they're doing.
Not
and
even
the gravel apparently is only a temporary thing. I don't know what they're going to do holding, with it when they remove it. And I don't
too bad they didn't give you some warning. I mean, the other thing would be to move each of those plants up into the shade, and then they'll just be it's only going to be for a period of time, but they may prefer to be out of the sun and into the shade during this transition.
I've got places out there that I could put them. Should I still put the fabric over them?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Just the roots, though, and don't cover the plants.
Okay.
And good luck on that, Cheryl. That's that's a frustrating situation. The numbers to call us, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to our next caller. We have John on the line from Mississauga. Welcome to the Garden Show, John.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie. Happy birthday, Charlie.
Good morning. Thank you.
First of all, thanks, Charlie, for your comments regarding the banana peel.
You're welcome.
Last Monday was a beautiful day, so I detached all my lawn, and I picked up three big containers. So then I fertilized and I put some seeds all over. But it rained quite a bit. Do you think what I did was for naught?
No, not at all. This is a great time.
Timing?
Sorry? Yeah, no, it's a great, we should all be out raking our lawns right now, if not just before that rain. There's always some dead grass. You know, it's very rejuvenating for the grass. It's like giving it a hairbrush, you know, brushing the lawn with a fan rake, pulling out the dead stuff. Great. If you've got thin areas, sparse areas, definitely top dress, overseed. This is the time of year to do it. And then pray for rain, because that's exactly what will happen is once we're a little bit warmer, those seeds will grow.
I was wondering whether, especially near the boulevard, whether it washed away. But on the backyard, I didn't, you know, it's fine. But I have like a lawnmower, you know, with a detacher. And I'll tell you, it's the best thing that I ever, like I said, it was so quick. But I picked quite a bit. Like I said, I was worried that the municipality yard waste won't take it, but he did take it.
They will. It's because it's dead grass. If it was green grass, they wouldn't take it. Like lawn cuttings, they won't take. But raked up material, they will.
This one will. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I did good anyhow.
You did great. And I'm just forwarding your email to Dean. I should have sent it earlier. It's great. I'm sure he'll appreciate what you've sent me as well. So thanks
sure
a
will.
Lot.
Well, I'm looking forward to opening.
Don't worry about what the wife says sometimes. You know that?
Absolutely.
You know, she's hearing. She's listening to me now. So don't worry. I'm in trouble already anyhow, Dean. So, okay. Thanks very much. And have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
Always nice to hear from John. Okay.
I put John because what I've just forwarded to you and I sent, you know, my heart going out to his wife as part of my response.
Yes.
you'll see the photos.
I will. I'm sure I will enjoy them. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We, my friends, will be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yes, we are back here on The Garden Show, and we have lots of callers on the line, so let's get right to the next one. We have Kathy on the line from Newmarket, and she is a first-time caller. Welcome to The Garden Show, Kathy.
Thank you very much. I enjoy
your show. Here are your garden wings. There you go.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello?
Hi. What's going on at your place?
Not much. I'm wondering if I can cut back my hyacinths. I have several different kinds, and they've got the big bloom on them. Should I take them off to the ground, what do I do?
Well, are they finished blooming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So are they in pots or out in your garden?
No, in my garden.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're way ahead of me. My hyacinths are just barely coming above ground now. So, yes, once the flowers are finished on any of your bulbs, whether it's daffodils or tulips or hyacinths, get out your little pruners or your scissors, as the case may be, and cut off the blooms. Leave the green. Whatever's green, leave it in the ground. Just cut away the blooms. You do not want seeds to be set. And that's what will happen. You will end up with hyacinth seeds, which are a waste of time because you're not going to grow hyacinth from seed. And so cut off the blooms, compost that, and let those green, those plants be green. They will very naturally turn yellow, but it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks before they go dormant again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And have you're welcome.
Thanks for the call there, Kathy. Quick question, Charlie. Why will we not get hyacinths from those seeds?
Oh, we will. We just don't have the pay. I mean, it could take years and years and years to actually ever get from seed a hyacinth bulb big enough to flower. So you just don't go there.
Okay, fabulous. Okay, now we're going to go to Carol. She is calling from Ayton, Ontario. Welcome to the Garden Show, Carol.
Good morning, and how can we be anything but good on a beautiful sunny day?
Yeah.
No kidding, yeah.
We're all getting gardening itch, I think.
Yes.
Charlie, I want to know, how do I know when to take the covering off my hardy kiwi? Some years we've taken it off and then we get a hard frost and all the little buds that have out in the leaf get froze off and it sets it back again. And so why do I cover it? So that might help me know when to uncover it.
Yeah, I know, it is a bit challenging. So have you got it wrapped in burlap? How have you got it covered?
Yes, with burlap.
So what I do, because you're right, there's a fine line. You leave it too long and the buds will actually suffer under the burlap. You take it off too early and then the buds can, as you point out, be destroyed by a late frost.
Right.
It's why us gardeners are also all weather forecasters. The Weather Network and Channel Weather Network, I guess, continues to be my favorite station. It's one of those just always look at your long-term weather. It is looking pretty nice. Don't worry about a mild frost. Don't worry about zero or one, something like that. But you don't want to see, you know, minus 10. You also don't want to see strong cold north wind. So and usually if it is a cold north wind, then the temperature will reflect that. You'll see, you know, -3, -4, and that's a little too cold. So just look ahead. You can see your 2-week forecast and uncover when you're confident that it tends to be a southern breeze and the temperature is keeping in the above zero. Like, you know, it's fine. Like I said, if it's one or two, you're fine with your hardy. It's like a rhododendron. I uncovered my rhododendron too late and all the buds were blasted under the burlap. So I now uncover it soon enough so that we're hovering around zero. It's hardy enough to handle that, but nothing too cold.
Okay, so err on the side of too soon or too late then?
If we're going to err. Well, honestly, by the time we get to late April and May, we can still have a frost.
Yeah.
But it's pretty unusual to have a minus 10 frost. We might get a minus 1 frost, but that's not going to kill your kiwi.
Okay.
So that's my point. If anything, you want to uncover it a little bit early. So err on the side of uncovering it too early, because that way those buds will be ready and tough enough. If it is minus 1, they won't get knocked off.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Good luck with that.
Good luck on that. Yeah, Carol. Okay. Let's run right to our next caller. We have Marguerite on the line from Aris. Welcome to the Garden Show, Marguerite.
Thank you. I'm having issues with my telephone, so if I get a lot of hiccups, I'll ask my question and I'll hang up and I'll listen on my radio. So I'm wondering my azalea, which I received 2 Christmases ago, I got it to bloom again. It's done with blooming. When do I cut it back and how far do I cut it back?
Okay, great question. So this is a florist-type azalea. It's in a pot in your house. Obviously, you're doing the right things. You've got it in lots of sun, and you're keeping it consistently moist. That's the biggest challenge with azalea.
Yeah.
What you want to do after it flowers, and you can see the flowers are gone, new green growth is starting to sprout out all over the place. So you want to give that plant a shearing, like a haircut. You're going to shape it, whatever shape you want. Usually it's an oval or kind of a ball shape. And so you'll just shear the whole plant. And in that way, when it does and you're going to do that today, so that that new growth that's going to start popping will just be, you know, come out and be beautiful and dense and a proper shape, because you just want to shear it the once. And if everything works well, it'll be blooming again in the next 3-4 months.
Okay. Yep.
Marguerite's, yeah, phone.
I think so. Yep. Okay. Well, we've answered the question. And you know what? We have to go to break anyway now. So we will be right back, my friends, with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, did you want to chime in? You have one thing to say about, do you want to do an update?
My homework?
Yeah.
Remember,
you want to do your homework?
Yeah, I'll share my homework and see if, you know, I pass. We had a caller last week, Heather from Mississauga, calling about a jade plant that was suddenly going downhill. And she didn't understand why that was happening. As far as she's concerned, she's done everything the same for, gosh, 20 years or some very long time, very old plant. She commented that she was seeing black on the stems. Then I got an email shortly after that from Bob, and he was saying he's having the exact same thing. Two old jade plants, two separate rooms in his house, both of them one at a time, slowly going down. So what's going on? Is there something happening? Is there like an Ontario problem? And it is tough, because jade plants, there's a fair amount of stuff out on the web, but on this specific question, there's nothing really, really clear. We know if you've got a white powder on your jade plant, it's called powdery mildew. We also know that jade plants are susceptible to a number of fungal diseases, including sooty mold, which is a black sooty mold. It's called sooty mold because it looks like soot. So it's like a black, again, it'll rub off the way powdery mildew, which looks like powder, will rub off. Then again, you could have another different kind of a fungal disease, which will not rub off at all. It is called Alternaria leaf spot, and it usually starts as little spots that coalesce, starts as like little tiny yellow spots that coalesce to make the leaves turn completely crispy and die. And then worst case, there's actually some bacterial infections. There are no cures for bacterial infections. If you've got something like that happening, it's just cross your fingers, do the TLC and hope for the best. But when it comes to fungal diseases, you can do a couple of things. One, of course, is make sure you've got great air circulation. Make sure that you're obviously jade plants, lots of sun, et cetera. Make sure that, you know, there's, so if you have to prune for that air circulation, if you need to put a fan on, avoid drafts. You don't want hot drafts or cold drafts. Avoid water that is not room temperature. So let your water sit out and let it be room temperature. And then besides all that, believe it or not, nutritional deficiencies can cause disease issues, even fungal disease issues in jade plants. So make sure that you are providing a balanced fertilizer and you're doing that consistently with your jade plant. And then the only other thing is, I know people said, well, but I'm doing the same thing for 20 years. Jade plants grow now and through the summer, like all of our tropical plants love the big day, big long days, lots of sunshine, whereas they slow right down and literally become almost dormant in the winter. So super important that we cut way back on our watering in the winter and provide more water now than we do in the winter. So it's not consistent. Do not water by the calendar. If you think it, I always love this line. If you think today's the day to water your jade, then wait a week.
Gotcha. Okay. So we'll wait a week.
Exactly.
So we're not gonna wait a week for this next caller there. We're gonna
better
go right
get to it.
Gonna go to Jean from Newmarket. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning, you two. Charlie, you have been and you still are my hero. I'm the person who started in COVID, and you have brought me up so far that two other people have given me their plants to bring it back to reality. I am so proud. Thank you. Now,
you're welcome.
My call is about dahlias. The husband loves dahlias. His bloom by September. And I heard you this morning. Ha-ha, I'm going to call. I'd like them to bloom in June. He puts them away in the wintertime. He brings them out in the spring. And that's my story. Please.
So does he go straight into the garden in the spring? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So you want them to bloom earlier. You got to bring them out now, pot them up inside the house, keep them inside until we're completely frost-free, but provide lots of light. So you either need grow lights or a sunny southern window where those potted up plants will start to grow, but not all scraggly and weak. You need lots of light on them if you're going to start them indoors now.
Okay. He's got about eight. So can I put them in a large box with the potting soil?
Sure. As long as there's drainage and as long as, you got to do what you got to do. So, yeah, because they're young and they're just going to be waking up, you can bang them in pretty close. This is not a permanent situation when you're potting them up now. You're just trying to give them the conditions to start them now, get them going so they're ready and raring to go by the time they get into the garden.
Thank you. And your caller, John, is my favorite. All the time you and he talk together, I just think that is the greatest highlight of my day. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Jean. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jean. John makes all of us smile. Trust me.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Valerie on the line from Dundas. She's a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Valerie.
Thank you.
Just quickly, your garden wings. There you go. And what have you got for Charlie, my dear?
Well, I used to have a very beautiful Hoya. The Hoya is probably 20 years old. It was thriving when it was hanging in an east-facing window above my kitchen sink, and I could train its limbs all the way along the top of the window, and it would bloom, and the perfume was wonderful, and so on. It was, at that time, in a medium-sized, unglazed terracotta pot.
Mm-hmm.
I've moved twice since then, and because it was so big, I transplanted it to a larger pot, which is a white clay pot with glaze on the outside, and I don't have an east-facing kitchen window over which to hang it. It's been in a west-facing window, slowly over these two moves, it has deteriorated, and so it's about a third of the size that it used to be, and it certainly doesn't want to flower. And it has dry leaves that fall off sometimes. It still has a fair number of lovely, shiny, deep green leaves, but I'm worried that it's slowly dying, and I'd love to bring it back to its former glory. What advice
could
you give me?
Okay, so, I mean, it's great that you had such good success in an eastern window, because typically a Hoya likes bright sunshine, direct sunshine. So your western window should actually be quite optimal for the plant. But your pot has changed things dramatically. The glazing on that pot means that you don't have that same evaporation of moisture from the sides of the pot like you did with your unglazed pot. So perhaps what's going on now is just a watering issue. You've got to really let that plant be like a desert between waterings. No water until it's bone dry. Do not repot again. Leave it in whatever it's in because it does not like being repotted. Keep it in the sunshine, fertilize as necessary, and we have to go. Thank you, Valerie. Thanks for your call. Thanks, everybody. Gosh, busy show. Everybody remember, call early next week. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Ashi.
Thank you.
Happy eclipse, everybody. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.